Gizmo is gonna have the special music for us now.
Thank you. You can always tell if somebody's good at something by how easy they make it look, or how at ease they are and making it look like they're having fun doing it. And that is exactly what you were doing. I mean, I couldn't keep up. Well, I wasn't nervous until Rose and Ruby walked in. Then all of a sudden I got nervous. Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Jim Herring. For the last 22 years, I have been a member of the Augusta First Seventh-day Adventist Church. I am a happy Adventist. Okay. Not as a happy Adventist, I want everybody to know we all should be happy Adventists. Because not only do we have the love of Christ and His salvation, salvation through Christ, we also have all the answers. We know all the times and dates. We know when things happened and when things will happen in the future. We know all the prophecies. Us Adventists, we know all of that good stuff. We also know what we can eat and what we cannot eat. And if we ever make a mistake, somebody will let us know. I'm not a public speaker, so I'm going to tell you exactly what I'm going to do before I actually do it up here, so that way nobody loses or gets lost in a segue or a lost end or something, okay? What I'm going to do is I'm going to have a short prayer, and then I'm going to do a little Bible reading, and then I'm going to expand on that using prayer as an example. Then I'm going to tell a short story that I read off the internet, so it must be true. And then I'm going to give my testimony. Okay? And if anybody would like sermon notes, I'll leave them here. Dear God, please have the words I say, your words, and have they be meaningful to somebody here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to start with Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe, and you will receive them, and you shall receive them. Wow. Okay, we as good, happy Adventists, we all agree that the Bible is an inspired work of God. No, His hand is all over the Bible, and everything in the Bible has to be true. And as we study Scripture, we should study one Scripture against another to make sure it's all correct, because everything in the Bible should agree upon itself, right? But do you agree with that?
Yes.
Do you think anything in the Bible disagrees with other parts of the Bible?
No.
Oh, I was hoping somebody would say when it would disagree. Okay. Well, let me show you. This is easy. I'm going to go and I'm going to say, for example, somebody prays that they want to live. Oh, this is a promise of God here. Okay? We just went through, and the promise of God was that whatever you pray for, you will receive, right? Okay? So that's a promise of God. And we should receive whatever we pray for. Let's say somebody prays that they want to live to be 150 years old. Are they going to get it? Probably not. Maybe so. So the consensus is that they're not going to receive their prayer, so that Bible text is incorrect. No, it's not incorrect. Okay. We're going to go to Genesis 2:17. You will surely die. You will surely die. That's a God's promise. God has promised everyone that you will surely die. That's sad. God has promised the death of every person in this room, including me. Genesis 6:13 says that God will not suffer us to grow older than 120 years. What exactly is that term he says here? And the Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for they are also is for that he also is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. So if you pray for 150, God's already said that the max you can get is 120. So that's one of God's promises there, 120 years. Now that kind of blows it. You can't go beyond the 120. Now I'm sure that some people will and some people have. You know, you take different people in the Bible, they have lived longer than that. Well, those were people that were pre-diluvian or people that were closer to pre-diluvian people. Some people also believe that Bible text could be read a different way. Some people believe that Bible text means that from that point, Noah had 120 years to preach and build the ark, and then at that point it was. But I've heard it taught both ways by Adventist preachers. I've heard it taught both ways by Doug Batchelor. I've heard it taught both ways by Pastor Tunnell. So, you know, you can take that either way. But people are not designed to live to be 150 years old. So that prayer is... But still the Bible agrees upon itself. Okay, we're going to go from we most surely will die, and we're going to go from there. Then we went to only living for 120 years. Now we're going to go from there to John 3:16. We have good news. And that is, whoever believes in him, who is Jesus, shall have eternal life. Well, that's interesting. So I guess you're going to get 120, 150, 160, and moving on, moving up from there, 150,000, a couple million, etc. So the scriptures do agree with one another. The promises do exist. Well, the promises have to go within the promises of God. You can't pray for something that and have the expectation of getting it if it's against the promises of God. It would be inappropriate to expect to pray and receive a promise from God if it was a sinful act, for example. I pray that that man will drop $50 out of his pocket because I want his money. Yeah, that's probably not a good prayer. We have to obey the laws of nature. God has given us laws of nature. He has said that he has laid down the foundation of the world. He has set, in Job it says, he set the universe in motion. We cannot break those. Those are going to be hard ones for God to do, and he does once in a while. But for the most part, it's going to be a hard sell. It's going to be not an easy thing to do. Don't expect to jump out of an airplane and pray to sprout wings on the way down. But if I fell out of an airplane, I'm going to be praying all the way down anyway. I'm going to go to John 10:10 now. John 10:10 says that we will have life, and we will have life more abundantly. What does that mean? How can we give life more abundantly? Right now, I am almost 60 years old. I'll be 60 very shortly. As I get older, I feel like my life abundancy is not more, but maybe going a little bit less. Maybe I'm not out jogging just as much as I was 30, 40 years ago. So what does he mean when he says you have life and life more abundantly? If you look at the grand scheme of not this earth, but beyond it, you'll see that the abundance of life is coming. There'll be a time when there's no death, no health issues, no life. On the new earth, imagine that. Imagine that. I like the concept of the new earth, where you're on the new earth and you build a home to live in. Well, I get tired of that wall over there. I'm going to change it. And you have the option of doing that. You can do whatever you want. New earth. No pain. 1 Corinthians 13:12. It says we'll know each other when we're in heaven and the new earth. Let me get that quote exactly right so nobody misunderstands me. Now we see the poor reflection as in a mirror, which is now. Then we shall see face to face, and we know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am known. We're going to know each other in heaven. My wife and I, up in heaven, on the new earth. We're sitting there, we're talking to one another, and she says, because we're going to know each other, right? So there's no reason to think that I wouldn't know my wife there. I hope she's going to plans on being there with me. On the new earth, and we're enjoying life abundantly on the new earth. We're enjoying life together. And she looks over at me and she says, remember back when you said you were going to want to be 150 years old? And I say, yeah, I remember that. She says, how long ago was that? I go, about 150,000. She'll remind me. Well, is that an appropriate prayer to ask for 150 years of life? No? I got a no? Presumptuous. Yes, indeed. That's a very good term. I like that. Be very presumptuous for us to be treated like that. But we're going to get it anyways. We are already guaranteed eternal life. What?
This is going to sound kind of silly, maybe a thousand point of view, but if God is really that powerful, why can't we pray what everyone would pray versus, like, how do I know that a human is not listening versus God is listening? So if I'm praying and the response is coming from God, truly God, then I should be able to pray anything I want, right? Versus if my prayer is being responded to by humans listening, then I should only be able to pray what a human can respond to. Is that correct?
Okay. Okay. Let me try on that, okay? I believe you should pray fervently all the time for everything. When you wake up in the morning, pray fervently then. When you get in your car, you pray fervently. You should pray continuously for everything. Now, some things, I'm not going to pray before I turn my blinker on. I don't have time. If I prayed before I did it, it'd be too late. Well, I don't use my blinkers anyway, so who am I kidding? But... We should always pray for everything, absolutely. The answers You'll know the answers when you see them, and they might not be right then. And your answers might not be what you expect because they're not in the exactly what you needed. A lot of times you're going to get what you need, not what you want. Because if we just prayed and we got what we wanted, I would probably be driving a Cadillac. Now, I'd be driving a 1959 Porsche, not 356 Cabriolet. But anyways, we should always pray. We should pray for everything, all the time, constantly. We should be in prayer. I got a friend of mine who carries a book with him every place he goes. He's got his prayer book. And every now and again, he'll whip the thing out and he'll write down on it. And then he'll pray over that book continuously. I assume someplace in his house he has a stack of prayer books because he always has that with him all the time. Romans what?
8:26.
8:26. I'm there. No, I'm not. Yes. Okay, do you want me to read it first? Thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps In the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us with groans and words that we cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the minds of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will.
So it's my understanding that if we keep our relationship with God, the Holy Spirit will intercede for us, even though we don't know what exactly we should be praying for, and we will get what we need.
And we pray for anything. But, you know, we don't know whether that's like you say, we might get what God wants us to have. We'll get what we need, but not necessarily what we want, because God knows what's best. I can ask for 150 years. Well, you know, like Hezekiah lived extra 15 years, and during that time, he had Manasseh. If he had went ahead on and died when God, you know, chose, he would not have had Manasseh. And according to the Bible, it says that Manasseh was the worst king that ever lived. He was the one that led God's children into the greatest degree of sin. So Hezekiah really didn't know what he needed, but God did. You know, give him what he asked for.
Back to what you said just a minute ago. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We have an intercessory prayer. This is from me now, not from the Bible. It's in accordance with that. I believe that one-third of the angels were cast down, okay? So that means that two-thirds of the angels are still out there, right? I believe that we have two good angels on one shoulder and we got one bad angel over here. And they're telling us back and forth good things and bad things to do, okay? I believe that the good angels over here are praying for us all the time and they're interceding on our behalf all the time. Okay. Which goes along with the scripture that you brought out. Thank you. Now back to what I was saying. Okay, I'm going to skip that part right there. And you're not going to hear the story from the internet. But I want to give you my testimony. And I don't want to hold us up too late. I'm going to tell you a story of prayer and the promises of God. Okay, my wife and I and my daughter, we were in Nicaragua, we were working for ADRA down there, and it was time we came home. Our time down there was done. And when we're coming home, the first thing we did is we drove north, we started to get to the first border crossing, and we didn't have all our paperwork we needed. And we sat there for like 3 or 4 hours waiting for our paperwork, trying to find it. And finally, one of the gate guards, one of the border crossing guards, came up and said, you drilled a well. And then he named the town. I said, yeah, I did that a couple years ago. He said, oh, hold on 1 second. He went over and talked to the other guards or the other gate people. He said, okay, you can go now. We'll take care of that paper. I later found the paper they were looking for. It was inside the back of my pickup truck with very deep in a whole bunch of other papers. It was like a 3-day find if we'd have to unload everything. Anyways, so we got through. Answer a prayer right there. Immediate answer for prayer. We got through out of Nicaragua into Honduras. And we're driving to Tegucigalpa. For some unbeknownst reason, I make a wrong turn. And I got on a little dirt road that drove forever, all day. And we're about 10 miles outside of a town called La Gracia, and I ran out of gas. No problem. I got it covered. I got 10 gallons of gas on my trailer in red cans. Go back there. One can is missing. The other one can's tipped over. So I grab the empty can, and I start walking to La Gracia, leaving my wife and my daughter sitting in the car. One vehicle, the only vehicle we saw on the road that whole day, stops and picks me up, drives me to La Gracia. I get a can of gas, and he comes back out, and he drives me back to my truck because he was just driving somebody to town, so he was going back home. So I got back, put gas in, and we continued to La Gracia. That worked out pretty good. Got to the next border crossing into Guatemala, going through Guatemala City. Rear axle bearing goes out. On a Ford truck, when the axle bearing goes out, your back wheel separates and starts coming out like that, which means your brakes no longer work, which is really a bad thing. And it's on the rear, of course, so you have no emergency brake either. So we stop, and I put it back together. We get to a hotel, and I take it all apart and everything. And a guy says, oh, well, I know where you can get that. And I hire the guy to take me into Guatemala City to buy a bearing. No problem. Easy. Got this covered. Go in there, hit the first bearing shop, no bearing. Second bearing shop, no bearing. Going down the list, we had about 6 or 7 of them, nobody had the bearing. And finally the guy said, well, we don't have one here, we have to go back. I got to get to work. And I said, there's a Timken sign right over there. Timken's a brand of bearing. And they say, I said, okay, we can try there. So go over, try. They got the bearing. I bring it back, we put it together, and we continue our drive. Later on, I found out that actually there's 3 sizes for that truck, and we just lucked out that we happened to get the right one. No, we didn't luck out. We did not luck out. We got the right one. So then we continue our drive. We get out of Guatemala. We're in southern Mexico in the Chiapas. And we're driving along, driving north, north of Tapachula. Now, as we're driving north of Tapachula, I look over my wife and I say, honey, sweetheart, beautiful lady sitting next to me, this is the worst place in the world that we could ever break down. We do not want to break down here. So immediately the car started, or the pickup truck started to make noises, and it went out, and I pulled over to the side, and I popped the hood up, looked at the engine. It sounded electrical, so I pulled a spark plug wire off, held it on, waited for the shock. As my wife turned it over, no shock. Took the cap off. The distributor rotor wasn't turning. Pulled the distributor out. Looked down inside of the hole, and there's no gear teeth on the camshaft, which is a bad thing. I don't know if you know anything about cars, but you're supposed to have teeth on that gear. So I stop a car, ask for somebody to send a tow truck, stop a car, ask for somebody to, he never asked just one person, by the way. I stopped every car that would stop for me until finally a tow truck came, a Green Angel came and towed us in to this town. I can't remember what the name of the town was. Anyways, got into the town and, well, before I finish this part, God promised when we left that we were going to go to Nicaragua and we were going to come back. That was a promise of God. Okay, I did not believe that God was going to abandon me and leave me any place. Okay, but got one more Bible thing here. Daniel 3:17-18. If we were thrown into the blazing furnace and God that we serve is able to save us from it, he will rescue us from your hands, O king. But if he does not, I want you to know that we will still not serve your God, and we will still worship God. So even though if we would have got left down there, we still would have worshiped God. It would not have been a thing, it didn't work out for us, so we're going to go some other way. He still was in charge. Okay. So we pulled into a garage, or that wasn't a garage. We pulled into this guy's backyard, and he was the head mechanic around there, the maestro. And he said, he asked what the problem was, and I told him, and I learned a lot of Spanish. He said that there was no camshafts in Mexico, that I would have to order one for the United States, and it would take at least a month. And the gentleman was about this tall, and I go, "Yo no creo, I don't believe it." He go, "Huh?" And I say, "Yo no creo. Yo creo, tu tienes." I told him that he had one. He looked at me like I just grew a third eye. I told him he had one. He said, "No, he didn't." And I said, "Yes, you do. I know you do. Yes, you do. You tiene un árbol de tiempo. No tiene. Or to DNA. And he would say, No, I don't. And I told him, "Yes, you do." He said, "Who told you I did?" And I said, "God. Dios." He looked at me. Well, about 10 years ago, this is him talking, about 10 years ago, I had problems with somebody stealing my chickens, and I was going to build a fence around my chicken coop because he had chickens running all around. And I was going to use some old camshafts for the fence posts. And I buried them in the sand over there. So I might have one, but they've been buried for 10 years. And I said, "Get a shovel. Tú tienes un palo." He says, "Okay." So he has one of the kids, because they always got kids down there doing work, okay? Get one of the kids around there, get a shovel, go there, digs it up, grabs a whole bunch of camshafts out of there. He had like 20 camshafts. And I said, "Dodge, Dodge, Chevy, 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 Dodge, Dodge, Ford, Ford." I grabbed the Fords out. Fords have the distributor in the front of the engine, so you'll be able to tell because the gears are in the front instead of the back. So I pulled out the Ford camshafts and I said, "One of these are going to work. Put it in." And he said it was too rusted. And I said, "Get some sandpaper." You laugh. I'm serious. I told the guy, get some sandpaper. And they had about a 10-year-old kid sanding it with sandpaper for about a day and a half to get the thing smooth enough so that it would work. And sure enough, we put it all together. I had to hitchhike into, well, I'm not going to pronounce the name of this town wrong, Wasaka. I had to hitchhike up there so I can get a new distributor, brought that back, put it all back together. We continued our drive. God was not going to desert me. God promised that I was going to come back to the United States. He was not going to desert me and leave me in that little town there. He put that camshaft in that dirt, in that spot, waiting for me. That chicken was stolen 10 years ago to convince him to bury that camshaft. Now, we had another issue, one more issue on the way home. And I want you to, we're driving up and near where, is it Tampico or Tampico? It's coming up the Gulf Coast. You go to, go across to where Veracruz is, and you go up the Esmeralda Coast, and then there's Tampico. And then you cut off through an area called Poza Rica, which is, Poza is well, Rica is rich. It's the rich well area. It's the very first oil wells in Mexico. And they have these nice, beautiful rolling hills that you have to maneuver around through. And as we were driving through, my wife and daughter were sleeping next to me. I was trying to sleep, but I had to drive. And my wife woke up and asked me why I was going so slow, because I was only going about 10, maybe 15 miles an hour. And I said, well, that's because I'm losing my steering. And I had just about one complete revolution of the steering wheel before the steering wheel would engage. And she was like, oh, that's not good. So anyways, we got up to the next town, and I'm barely able to creep into it after backing up and going back and forth. I finally get in there. And I get in to this town, and again, get into the mechanic, the maestro. You got a head mechanic, a master mechanic, who knows everything. And then you have underlings that actually do the work. And then, you know, and you call the head mechanic the professor or the teacher, you know, the maestro. So I go in there, the maestro looks at it, and he wiggles it, and all these ball bearings fall out of the steering box. I was like, well, that's not a good sign. And he says, you're going to have to order that from the United States. There's not one around here anyplace. No tiene en Mexico. Solamente en Estados Unidos. And I say, no, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. He looked at me like I just grew a third eye. And I said, let me show you something. And I walked up to the toolbox I have welded on the front end of my front bumper. I opened it up, and I grabbed a newspaper, a wad of newspaper, unwrapped it, and I had a steering box. My truck broke a spring, one of the front suspension springs, while I was in Nicaragua. And I was looking around for one, and I found a frame of a truck that had two springs and a steering box on it. About 2 years before that. And I told the guy, I walked up to the guy and said, hey, can I buy that spring from you? He said, yeah, I'll sell it to you. How much? 150 cordobas. About $10, $10, $11. Okay, well, I'll buy the other one too. Okay. Well, how much you want for the steering box? 150 cordobas. So I bought the steering box. So I had the two springs, the steering box. I put one spring on, put the other spring and the steering box in my toolbox on the front. Okay, I don't know. You never know. God impressed me a year or so prior to my steering box going out in Mexico to buy a steering box on a whim in Nicaragua. The promises of God is that He will never desert you.
Amen.
Even if you feel deserted, He will never desert you. If you feel alone, isolated, if you feel where you are lost, you are not. He will never, ever desert you. And that is my testimony. And I ran 10 minutes long. I was going to have everybody out by noon. Okay, I'd like to close with a word of prayer. Dear God, thank you for the opportunity you gave me to come here. Please let the words I spoke reach somebody here and be with us all as we go home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.